The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, what is the greatest evil listed in the Bible? Well, my friend, any evil disqualifies people from the kingdom of God, and all people struggle with evil to some degree. They know this if they're honest. That's why God calls all of us sinners. That's why all people need the forgiveness and atonement of Jesus Christ. But what God seems to especially hate is evil that comes in the name of goodness. Many years ago, Isaiah the prophet said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Take our President Donald Trump, certainly no saint, certainly an imperfect man in many ways, yet he stands for religious freedom. He stands for bringing back jobs. He stands for the unborn. He stands for protecting our borders, and yet he is rewarded with the most vile accusations. You would think the man was Adolf Hitler himself. And he's actually been compared to Hitler many, many times. Last week, some vindication came Trump's way. A memo from James Comey was uncovered, which shows that Trump did not try to interfere with the Russia investigation. Quite the contrary, he encouraged it. He wanted to know if anyone from his campaign was involved. Those same uncovered memos have Trump responding to Comey's insistence that he, the president, was not even under investigation. And so based on that, Trump encourages Comey to get the word out that he's in the clear. Good news for Donald Trump? Well, not according to Nancy Pelosi, who must spin for the Democrats. Even if the concept of truth has become as extinct as the Tyrannosaurus Rex in her mind, according to Pelosi, this shows that Trump did try to subvert justice. It may appear different to you as you actually read the memos, but she's telling us what it truly means. You just can't make this stuff up anymore. Well, I guess you can if your name is Nancy Pelosi. Truth may come and go, but Washington will always be Washington. And before we leave Washington, not enough time in your day to sit through the Senate confirmation questions directed at Secretary of State appointee Mike Pompeo? Are you feeling left out for not being able to hear the Democratic senators pontificate for the cameras and future personal presidential run photo op campaign ads, all made legitimate by ending their speeches with a quick question in the end so that it can look like they were asking a question when in reality they were uninterested in anything the nominee had to say? Well, fear not. The intelligence and sheer brilliance of the Dems is hereby distilled down and summarized by your old pal, Bob. Mr. Pompeo, before going to work for a Republican administration, are you willing to systematically go down the list and disavow everything Republicans and conservatives stand for, including standards that have nothing to do with the office of Secretary of State, such as a traditional view of marriage? Oh, and if you could promise to buck President Trump at every term, that would also be helpful, although not real helpful, since most of us will not vote for you no matter what you say and would reject your record even if it matched Mother Teresa's. So far, they have not yet mentioned Charlize Theron's threat to leave the country if Pompeo gets appointed. But that can probably be explained by the fact that her leaving might be viewed as a plus for confirming the guy. Speaking of Senate committee hearings, Zuckerberg was asked by the Senate committee why Facebook censored conservatives Diamond and Silk. His response was that this was an enforcement error. Those are the exact quotes, enforcement error. And the error has been corrected. Yeah, Oh, yeah, I'm sure that must be it. There was an error, all right. The error was not counting on such a public outcry and bad publicity. The error was a miscalculation that they could get away with it. And while we're on the subject of miscalculation, Sacramento seems to be miscalculating how much longer the citizens of California are going to go along with their leftist agenda, which barely even attempts anymore to claim that the interests of American citizens are on the radar. City after city is joining the federal government's lawsuit against California becoming a sanctuary state. Now, have you heard the latest relating to this? Governor Jerry Brown's plan to utilize the National Guard to join the other National Guards and other border states. It goes something like this. Well, I will send troops to the border. However, and this is very important, while they are there, they are under orders not to actually do anything. How does he get away with this? By couching his policies in terms of race. Anyone who does not accept illegal immigration is a racist, even if these same people enthusiastically support legal immigration. But Moonbeam Brown is not the only one who lumps all American discussion under the category of race. It happens everywhere, even at Starbucks. Now, whether or not the Starbucks employee had a right to tell two people to leave if they were hanging around without buying anything is an interesting question. Unfortunately, that is not the discussion our nation is having. Instead, it is assumed that they were asked to leave because of their skin color. What evidence is there of this? How do we know they would not have been asked to leave no matter what color they were? And do today's race baiters even ask for evidence, or do they instead quickly exploit any news event for their agenda? Now, don't waste any time trying to answer that question. You will be extending a lot of energy to uncover the obvious, an obvious phenomenon that our nation has been accepting for a long time by rolling over and playing dead instead of pushing back. I have as much admiration for today's leftist sensitivity police as I have for Sheriff Israel's amazing leadership that he offers the Broward County Sheriff's Department. You remember Sheriff Israel and his amazing leadership? And you remember the reason we know he's such an amazing leader? He told us so himself. Well, if you'd like to weigh in on any of this, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net. That's questions at bobsiegel.net. Regarding Jerry Brown, Craig says, just like some of our elected employees. Joy says, unbelievable, right? Maybe California will turn more red. Well, maybe, Joy. There's certainly a rebellion brewing against Sacramento. Frankly, it will depend on whether or not conservatives continue to leave California and make Texas even more red than it already is. Teddy says, shuffleboard, anyone? Not exactly sure what Teddy meant. Maybe that our National Guard on the border might as well play shuffleboard since Governor Brown won't allow them to do anything else. Regarding my capsulization of the Mike Pompeo hearings, Francis, thank you, Bob, for this discourse. I can now turn off the news. And I do mean thank you. Regarding Charlize Theron threatening to leave our country, Jim says, Miss Theron was born in Africa. How come she is not considered an African-American? Well, because she's white, Jim. That would not be politically correct. The term African-American is supposed to be, according to the PC police, about skin color, not about whether somebody truly comes from Africa. Accuracy is seldom PC. Regarding Facebook, censoring Diamond and Silk, Steve says, those two ladies are pretty funny. Love hearing their comments. Ed says, too many times I heard an arrestee apologize, mostly not authentic at all, after committing the crime. Ed is a police officer. He says, I appreciated the sentiment, but it doesn't forgive the crime, which many of them were counting on. Russ says, when Zuckerberg said that, some big veteran in the gallery should have come forward, grabbed him by the neck, and choked him out. When he regained consciousness, the veteran should have said, that was a hugging error. Regarding the Starbucks incident, Mike says, would love to see video of the incident and how the two young men loitering at the Starbucks were dressed and how they were comporting themselves. Also, has Starbucks ever asked other people to leave who do not happen to be black? Now, Tim, on the same subject, says that Mike Gallagher has seen white people loiter at Starbucks without being kicked out, And Tim goes out of his way to mention that Mike Gallagher's talk radio program broadcasts from this same station that carries my show, KCBQ, 1170, The Answer. Tim, with all due respect, what on earth difference does that make? Are you honestly expecting me to change my position based on that? I'm supposed to go, what? Mike Gallagher disagrees with me? And his opinion of Starbucks was articulated over the airwaves of my own station? Well, jumpin' Jiminy. I guess I better reconsider my position. Look, I have a great respect for Mike Gallagher. I love his show. I have a great respect for all of the Salem hosts. They do a terrific job. They do not drive my opinions. Frankly, I am uninterested in Gallagher's experience at Starbucks. I've had my own experience. I'm at Starbucks literally every day, typing on my laptop. And yes, it is understood there informally that people can stay as long as they want while working. That's part of the environment. But it's also understood that people will purchase something to legitimize their presence. Over the years, I have watched the management confront many customers or alleged customers. I've seen them ask people to quiet down. I've seen them tell people they cannot sleep there, all white people. I was told myself once by a Starbucks employee that they do not want to see anybody hanging there for more than a half hour without buying anything. Now, in that particular case, this was a new worker who did not know me. I pointed out that I was a regular customer who did buy something practically every day, but just had not on this particular day. So they did let it go. But the matter was brought to my attention. And by the way, I am white. It may be that from Starbucks to Starbucks, this has been handled differently. Often those kinds of decisions are subjective judgment calls. But I seriously doubt that race has ever had anything to do with it. Even if somebody was an honest-to-goodness, downright racist, they would have understood that they were working in a very liberal establishment and would have been smart enough to keep their racism to themselves. So nationwide Starbucks sensitivity training, that sounds like utter nonsense to me. Now, these next thoughts are from a listener named Al, some very unusual comments in response to last week's program. Now, last week, I was not in the studio doing a live show. I had a speaking engagement at Skyline Church, so we ran a repeat broadcast of a friendly dialogue with a self-proclaimed atheist. The point I was making in the dialogue was that apart from God, there can be no such thing as right or wrong. If human beings exist by randomness and chance, if human beings exist by accident, then so does our sense of morality. When we call something right or wrong, we must admit that it is nothing but an opinion. As an example, I pointed out that apart from God, we could not call murder wrong, and we could not call racism wrong. Now, while most people would comment on the argument itself, Al pushed back in a way that I have never seen before. He actually challenged the fact that I called racism wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, in all the years I've been in radio, I have never seen a comment like this. I do want to give Al the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he was honestly trying to defend racism. I think he was challenging what people today dub racism. At least I hope that's all he means. But listen for yourself and let me know what you think. Now, he wrote a very long commentary. I'm only going to have a chance to read part of it. We'll get to it when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. We have a very special guest that we're going to bring on in just a couple of minutes. But I was about to read an interesting email. Last week, there was a debate aired on this program between myself and an atheist. And I was arguing that apart from God, there could be no genuine morality. And I listed, as an example, many things that we today accept as decency and morality, that racism is wrong. Well, I got a very interesting pushback to that. I don't think the guy is trying to defend racism. I think he's trying to defend what people call racism or speak against what people call racism. But you tell me what you think. He says, in claiming that racism is terrible, you overlook tons of issues. My grandparents were the most wholesome, well-liked people you'll ever meet. They wanted nothing to do with black people. Ugh. See, it does not sound good, but let's hear him out and hear his context. Two, what of the fact of life that 95% of inventions are by white people, mostly men? Does this possibly raise the issue that the majority society deserves the benefit of the doubt in legislation? Two, we're stuck with the reality of serious lack of progress of African nations, but we're to put our heads down and ignore the wide difference these issues create. What is racism when responsibility for rectifying every crisis is the sole responsibility of white people? Even at this late date in history, that's the only reason why quote-unquote racism has de facto become the sole responsibility of Anglos. Blacks feel no responsibility to correct their attitudes. When I worked in Detroit government, the blacks would come fishing for donations for every little social situation that occurred while rejecting any request by white workers to contribute to a gift to the wife of a white worker. Another evidence that racism is a one-way street, only whites need prove they're good people. By the way, after the blacks refused our lawyer's initial request for a dollar donation, I came in behind him and shamed the black secretary into collecting donations for the hospitalized white lady. Dr. Laura tells us that 8 of 10 geniuses are men. Where does this fit in with the equality of sexes? She also qualifies that 2/3 of idiots are men. If you assume that any differences create friction and that the most successful nations agree on a final authority for the truth, how do you account for the obvious fact that the major thrust of the black Democrat movement are communists? In other words, every single black, Latin, Asian Democrat politician belonged to DSUSA. What is racism? Then consider that in the 8 years of Obama, I counted 73 black Democratic legislators or educators indicted for misappropriation of public funds. No black GOP were involved. Conservative blacks are a totally different group and are shunned by the left. Okay, let me respond to this, Al. First of all, I'm surprised that in a discussion about God, which used racism only as an example of agreed upon morality, that your takeaway from a conversation like that would be to challenge the idea of condemning racism. But whatever your reason for focusing on this, so be it. Racism is truly and accurately defined as prejudice or antagonism toward a person based upon their race or skin color. Now, reading between the lines and giving you the benefit of the doubt, I do not believe you are a racist. Neither do I think you are defending racism. I think you are instead challenging the left's contemporary redefinition of racism, namely any conservative idea that differs from Marxist positions. You are also blowing the whistle on reverse discrimination and the fact that some human beings are exempted from taking personal responsibility for their own actions based upon their race. You spoke favorably of conservative blacks, so I do not think you are a racist. Anyway, if we are talking about what race baiters have done to make race relations worse, and if you're challenging modern redefinitions, then I would agree. I said as much earlier in my discourse on Starbucks, but while your examples made some interesting points, the phraseology of your opening is something that may confuse people, and you might want to find a better way to express yourself. Also, some of the things about how there's a higher percentage of smart people that are white, I have to reject that. But I have read enough of your other comments to understand the conservative context with which you speak and to give you the benefit of the doubt. Others will not be so gracious. Al, you started out by saying in claiming that racism is terrible, you overlook tons of issues. That makes it sound like you're about to tell us that racism is not terrible. Well, of course, racism is terrible. Any moral person knows that. You know that. But if I understand Lee correctly, you were not arguing on behalf of racism, but against actions and practices falsely called racism. Okay, we have a very special guest today. Nobody who watches Fox News could possibly be unfamiliar with the commercials for a very popular product called MyPillow. But wonderful as these pillows may be, how you sleep at night is not our concern right now. I do wonder how many of today's Democrats and liberals sleep at nights, but that's another story. Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, has been in the news recently for refusing to boycott Laura Ingraham's television show. Mike Lindell, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Now, why don't you start, before we get into all the contrary, why don't we start by you telling us about your product and how your business became such a success? I hear it's just an unparalleled success.
Yeah, I invented it back in 2004, 2005. I actually had a dream from, God gave me this dream. He actually gave me the dream MyPillow first before the actual product. I wrote MyPillow all over the house and the logo. And my daughter came upstairs. She goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm inventing a pillow. It's going to be called MyPillow." She said, "That's really random, Dad." Went back downstairs. And I spent about a year and a half coming up with it. My one of my sons and I would tear different things on the deck every day. And when I invented it, we were turned down everywhere. And I finally, someone said, "Well, Mike, why don't you do a kiosk?" I said, "Well, how do you spell that?" And we did a kiosk, and we sold about 80 pillows, borrowed money, we're completely broke. And one of the guys that bought one at the kiosk, he ran a Minneapolis Home and Garden show, and he called me up and asked if I'd like a spot in there. And I went in there, and we sold about 300 pillows, and I said, "Wow, at least I got a place to support my family." And for the next five or 6 years till 2011, I made the pillows at night, sold them during the day at these home shows and fairs throughout the country.
Now, this is interesting. You mentioned that it came in a dream from God at first. Usually when we think of dreams right. from God, we think of the nations or missions or salvation. Why do you suppose God gave you a dream about a pillow?
Well, I don't know. It's been a divine appointment. Well, I do know now. It's, I also had, he's protected it, this platform. The platform for the pillow is just a much bigger, my calling is a lot bigger than just a pillow. And even though we sold 41 million of them, I've been protected. I was a crack cocaine addict. There was a lot of other adversity I faced during that time. And if we go up to, my drug dealers actually did an intervention on me in 2008 and said they wouldn't sell me anymore unless I went to bed. And they, I'd been up for like 14 days, and here I come back from, I couldn't buy drugs anywhere on the street. It was like 2 a.m. I came back upstairs, and it was one of the worst parts of Minneapolis. And I got back upstairs, and the guy goes, he says, "How'd that work out for you?" And I said, and I'm all upset. And he said, He took a picture. He got my phone. He says, I'm going to take a picture. He says, you made a promise to us that someday God would give you that this pillow is a big platform and God's, you're going to come back and help us all. And you're our hope. So those words kind of rang true. I quit about 9 months later and prayed that I could, God would free me of that addiction overnight. And he did. I woke up the next day and, that was in January 16, 2009. And it was up until in 2009 and 10 that I just spent trying to get my company back. It was taken by some other people. They had taken all my shows and everything. And I ended up doing an infomercial, and that was in 2011.
Now, you mentioned God delivering you from this addiction. Is this the time that you became an actual Christian? Would that be part of your Christian testimony?
I quit overnight and I was freed from my prayer was, God, please free me from these, free me from the desires. And
okay.
I woke up the next day.
Mike, can you hold with us over the break and we'll come right back?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Bob Siegel Show. Mike Lindell, the creator of My Pillow, is our special guest. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob.
And so you were about to tell us the story of how you became a Christian right before we went to the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, like I said, I was freed of all my addictions overnight in January 16, 2009, but I still, I was going, back in the day, I always had a fear of rejection and unworthiness. I never thought I'd ever be a speaker or speaking in any commercials. And what I did, but I was always wearing my cross. I was always, having my cross on. I would actually be doing drugs, crack houses or whatever. And I would be telling people about, things in the Bible and talking about, we should all quit. And the next day they would quit and I would stay on it. And, And some of them would find Jesus, and it was just, it was strange to me. I wanted what I was talking about. It was like, I was trying to convince myself. But anyway, in October, I guess we got to include this too. Nobody would take the, I started getting my company back I was just doing shows and fairs, and I said, well, let's bring my pillow right to the people. And we ended up doing an infomercial. And the night before we did it, I did a read, and the producer said, this guy's the worst we've ever seen. He said, he can't go on TV. Cause I couldn't do a read off this script. Well, the next day we did it with a teleprompter, without a teleprompter, and just naturally, just whatever it said, it was a real audience, and I was scared. I'd never been so scared. And yeah, then we went from 5 employees to 500. It aired October 7th, 2011, in the middle of the night. And it aired then at 3 in the morning. And we went from 5 employees to 540 days. It just exploded. And my pillow became so big in 12 and 13. But by the summer of 14, I met this gal. We were within 2 days of going under at my pillow, and I had a lot of things happen in between there that we don't have time to talk about. But I met her, and she had something that I didn't. She had this this relationship with Jesus. It was like, and it's what it was different than when I go, yeah, I believe in God. Well, then at that same moment in time. She was always praying for the company. We did a 1 and a 2 minute commercial, and he said, well, Mike, you need to be in it. And we started getting at that point in the spring, things started happening again then, or in the fall, I mean, and we just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I started seeing miracles in 2015, 16, 17, instead of me praying. When things got bad, that I would pray for, God, please help me get me out of this. Help me get me out of this. All of a sudden, I was seen in Kendra, and it got up until until February 18th of 2017. That's just a little over a year ago. And I went into this retreat called Operation Restored Warrior. It's actually for warriors or whatever. It's a retreat type thing. And I got in there, and that I prayed. I had hope before I went in that I would end up coming out with something, with a personal relationship like Kendra had. And I came out of there, and it was amazing. It was February 18th of last year. People say that to me all the time. Well, what's the difference now? Well, now it's my personal relationship with Jesus. I can have as much passion for Jesus as I did for the pillow. And that's what I was always longing for. And that's the platform that God, this calling God had given me, and where, just the fame, the awareness. And I can say, you know what, Jesus is real, and he is the way. And I always, one of my favorite verses right now is Proverbs 3, I believe it's 5 and 6. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And always acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that's where it's became easy for me to pray, and my paths are directed.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. It seems to be one of the common misconceptions with religion in general, and also Christianity, that it is just about beliefs or going to church. But you're talking an actual relationship with the Spirit of God. And that's such an Absolutely. Important distinction to make.
Yeah. You wouldn't see me. I'm actually over in Israel right now as we speak. It's 4 in the morning over here, and I'm actually just got here yesterday. It's going to be. I'm looking forward to an amazing week over here where Jesus plays.
I heard that. Now, what are you doing in Israel? Are you part of a tour? Are you speaking there? What's your?
I'm going to be joining a tour with Jonathan Kahn. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he wrote The Harbinger.
Yes, I've heard him speak before.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and I'm over here with, we're going to be joining up with them in a couple of days, and then I get back, and I actually speak in, this will be one of my first time ever doing this, I'm for the National Day of Prayer, on May 3rd when I get back to the United States.
Oh,
so
exciting.
God's put me in a position. I'm actually, I tell these guys, I'm a baby Christian. I don't know a lot of verses in the Bible, but I do have a story. And
yeah. Now, have you been to Israel before, or is this your first time?
We were here in the, it was here in the fall of 2015, and I was, Kendra and I actually came over here with, at that time with Alistair Begg, and then Stephen Baldwin, his wife, and we had, and Kevin McAuliffe, and we had, so I was over here then, but there was so much to experience. I could stay over here all the time. It's just such a feeling. It's amazing, and there's just so much to see. You can't, we didn't have enough time back then, and just wanted to get back over here and walk where Jesus walks.
Yeah, I've been there twice, and I'll tell you, I felt safer there with all the terrorism going on. I felt safer there than I did in the States. Can you hold with me over another break, Mike?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Today is Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob.
It's been a great honor to get to know you. I've been watching your commercials for years. I just can't turn on the TV anymore without seeing a commercial for that pillow. I've not tried one myself yet, but they sure look inviting.
Oh, they are amazing. They've helped so many people.
And I guess the idea behind this pillow is that it kind of, I guess for want of better phraseology, the pillow kind of works with you in your various positions.
No, you adjust to sleep. It. You sleep is all about the distance from your head to your bed. I just did finish last month one of the biggest sleep studies done in the U.S. ever, and it's sleep is about wherever you move my pillow, the patented fill locks into place. So. It's always, it's about that distance from your, like I say, to fill in. So you're not using your arm or folding pillows. You set your own height, so to speak, but yet it's soft. It's supportive soft. So you adjust the pillow to fit you rather than trying to adjust the pillow. So all of those other things where you hear, you know, I do all my own manufacturing, 100% made in the USA and 10-year warranty, and you can wash and dry it and it stays cool. The 60-day money-back guarantee, those are all just bonuses. If it didn't work, give you the most amazing sleep ever, none of those other things would matter.
Well, I'm going to certainly try one. Now, there's been some controversy recently. A lot of people were boycotting Laura Ingraham's program, which you refused to do, and I understand it really put you in the spotlight. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the first thing they did, see, I advertised when you said, when you opened the show about Fox, I advertised $1.5 million a week over all channels, every cable channel, just about every broadcast. So we're not exclusive to Fox.
And, well, that shows you how much I watch the other news networks then.
Yeah, right. So for me, when they came to me and they said the first rumor spread was that Mike was going to go down, Mike was going to take his ad down, and I heard from so many people, and I said, Mike, I said, no, we're not taking our ad down. And nor do I intend to. And then they've asked me for different quotes. I said, every ad we do, we treat it like it's our own ad. It's either got to break even or make money or for my employees. We do what's best for my employees and my customers. And I'm not going to change my advertising around based on what anything that goes on out there that, that are hosted. Can you imagine me having to monitor hundreds of stations a day about what everybody's saying? And this is, I was put in the spotlight, and they attacked me on social media, and I'm going, why am I getting attacked here? And I think a lot of that had to do, obviously with politics and with, I met the president a couple of years ago, and a private meeting before he was president. And when I met him, I said, after I got out of there, I walked in, I said, yeah. He said, Mike, are you a Christian? You're always wearing your cross. And I said, yes, Mr. Trump. And I said, this is a divine appointment. And we had the most amazing meeting about the inner cities, and we talked about what he's going to do, bringing the jobs back and all the stuff he's already done. I walked out there and said, he's going to be the best president in history. And I think and then that got thrown into the public light that, cause I went all in for our president. And then last summer I got invited to the White House, and I was with the White House.
Wow.
They said, who's sitting here? And they said, Mike, the president, does he want to sit by you? It was a Made in America, made the USA sub-manufacturers summit. And how cool was that? He was, he just cares. He cares about the jobs here and everything. And then when these, when stuff comes up and people want to attack advertisers, attacking advertisers isn't good for anybody. The advertisers that do leave, that boycott certain people, they leave and they just pay more for other spots. The consumers end up paying for these things, and it's just wrong.
Can you tell us anything about Donald Trump when you in person that we don't necessarily notice when we watch him publicly?
I'll tell you what, when sitting with him, he is the most, and I met him many times after that. I was just in Mar-a-Lago a couple of times I was there over Easter, invited by somebody else, and he came up to me, Mike, how you doing? He's the most personable guy, and he's funny. He is funny. He loves the Lord. I believe he's a baby Christian that, when he came, they always say, 11 years ago, he did this or this and this. Well, you know what? I was a crack cocaine addict. I did a lot of things too before I found Jesus. I just found Jesus a year ago.
Well, we've all had a pass, and frankly, he's doing such a good job that even though I'm a dedicated Christian, even if he wasn't a Christian, I'd say he still has been a very good president.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's doing the best job. And I don't know, I don't know where he is with his own faith or where his own journey. I'm just saying that when I met him, that man is just so kind, and he's so down to earth, and he's just what I've watched and what I've observed even in office, he runs his business where he takes stuff in. He's such a good listener. He'll take stuff in and then he'll make the right decisions. He's so pragmatic and makes these amazing decisions. And when they say, for negotiating, he knows what to do. I mean, look what he's going to do. I mean, with North Korea and all these things and the tax cuts, he's getting more stuff done ever than when, and just think of people that got on board and helped him. I did after the election, and then after the inauguration, I was on TV in Minnesota, and they had, I was in the green room actually with someone that was protesting, was leading one of the rallies.
And, okay. Can you hold with me for one more segment, my friend?
Sure.
We'll be right back.
Sure.
is Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, our guest today, Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow. He was telling us some stories about having met President Donald Trump personally. You know, Mr. Lindell, I believe he may go down in history as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. But a lot of times people that make the most significant imprints on history are very unpopular and come under a lot of criticism while they're actually alive.
Right.
And then we kind of turn them into saints later with 2020 hindsight.
Right, right. Well, you know, there's been the like I said, after he won the after the inauguration, which I was at, I was on CBS in Minnesota, and I was sitting in the green room, and I was with this gal, and I was telling her all about having met the president in the summer of 16 and having telling him what he's like and what he's going to do and how, you know, all these things. And I was so, you know, I don't go all in for anything unless I do my due diligence and I know what I'm backing. And I had never even been in politics before. Nothing like that. We were back to anything. I didn't know anything about it. Well, but anyway, I'm telling this lady this, and she kind of got it. I'm telling her all about him, and I had met Ben Carson. He's a friend of mine now, and we're doing all these things, and we're going to do all this stuff for the inner cities, and the president's going to do all this, bringing jobs back. And she got up and left the room. Well, then she went on ahead of me, and here she was, one of the leaders of the rallies that had happened at that moment in time against the president.
Oh boy.
And here I went on TV after her, and she came up to me afterwards. She goes, "Well, now you know who I am." And she said, "I sure hope you're right." And I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "Why wouldn't you want to give him a chance? He's our president. He was elected by, you know, elected as president, and he's got some great things he's going to do." Rather than everybody fight it, if everybody got on board, so much could get done, because he's so amazing. And the minute people that are there, I do a lot of stuff with Ben Carson, and I know a lot of the ones, Kellyanne Conway, all of them inside. They're just so much that the people that I met, and they work hard, and they have great ideas, and it's going to be amazing. Well, we've already seen all the. Just can you imagine if he didn't have to fight everything every day, how much would be getting done? We'd be going, what?
Oh, if the Senate would only get rid of that idiotic filibuster rule, we could just get more legislation passed.
Right, absolutely. But there is a lot of good things done. There's so much even that I don't even think the public knows about. And I'm working a lot because of my past with addiction. I have a foundation and a recovery network that I co-founded, where imagine where the addict can put in their in this app, they can put in their name or their, I mean, not their name, their age and what they're addicted to. And all these stories we've collected will pop up of his age group and stuff where they made it through and they made it to the other side and they made, you know, they've gotten help and they're now they're these mentors and they're, you know, they become mentors within that, for that person. And then there's all these places of help where he can go. And it's just, I bring it back to when I quit a month before I quit back in the day that a friend of mine had come back to me. He came and he goes, Mike, what are you doing? He had found Jesus and been clean for 3 years after being him and I, he was my equal for, we had both started doing cocaine in 1984 and then crack in the early 2000s. And I said, Dick, I had all these questions that only he could answer. I said, is it boring? And he says, no, man, it's not boring. And he said, but it was just, I couldn't relate it to anyone else. So I used that same, you know, premise on this recovery network where you know, people can relate more and give more, it gives more hope when they're in their age group or maybe, you know, someone in the middle of Detroit, Michigan, this 22-year-old opiate addict might not be able to relate to someone that's in San Diego, California, that's a 40-year-old alcoholic, but if we kind of match them up and the mentors with the addicts, it gives them hope. And they're going to find out when they get to, they're going, wow, how did they get help? Well, the answer is Jesus. And that's what they're going to end up finding out. Most of the stories.
Oh, this is amazing. Look at how God is using you. And in just such a short time, I think of Walt Disney, yeah, where they say his empire, one of the big slogans with Disney was it all began with a mouse. You're going to have to attach a little slogan that says it all began with a pillow.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And now, and the pillow keeps getting bigger.
The pillow keeps
41
getting bigger.
Million.
No. Now, getting back to Laura Ingraham, just for anybody in our audience that wasn't sure, what was her lawsuit actually about? Was that about her taking a stand on behalf of the NRA? Was that the controversy?
With Laura Ingraham, I you know what? I really don't know. I don't know what I don't. I and this is the truth. I don't know what was all said. I don't follow all that stuff. All I know is advertisement. I've been so busy. She had said something I guess a lot of people didn't like and then apologized for it. And I think it just keeps getting brought up to, the public. And I'm busier now. I'm 30% busier on my pillow than I was before this. So,
well, there had to have been, obviously, she didn't lose all of her advertisers. Why were you singled out as opposed to any of her other advertisers?
Well, I think because I'm the biggest advertiser in the country. Like I say, I advertise on every station. I advertise on every station, just about cable. I don't say I'm only going to advertise on this station or this station or this station. I think it's because of my platform I sit on. And it could also be because I was singled out because I do back Donald Trump. And I back, I met him and he's not, there's no better president we could have right now. And I put all my credibility towards him. And I think that might have had something to do with why I was singled out. I don't know. But I absolutely was. And I have to do what's best for my customers and my workers. I have 1,600 workers now here in the U.S. in my hometown, my home state of Minnesota, right outside my door. And I go back to where your handshake is your word. I even have my own call center, my customer service. And we view every customer like it's our only customer. And we do that, just like with all our, advertisers too.
Well, God bless you, sir. Sounds like a wonderful undertaking. It was such an honor to have you on our program.
Well, thanks, Bob. It was an honor to be here, and God bless everyone out there, and look forward to if they see the Recovery Network in the future.
All right. Enjoy Israel. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.